to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Eidelman Unplugged. My name is Luke Duncan and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Eidelman. Pastor, welcome.
Welcome. Good to be here.
So here's a question that's pretty straight to the point.
Yep.
Is dating biblical? Shane, what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know when the listener is going to hear this. I'm guessing it's going to first be released in September. Right now in the news is a person by the name of Joshua Harris. I don't know if you've seen this, Luke. He wrote the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and had a lot of good principles in it about marriage. And so he's just poor guy, and we got to pray for him. So if you hear this, pray for Joshua Harris. He's kind of just rejected the Christian faith, apologized to LGBT people, and just kind of went off the deep end. So either he wasn't saved to begin with, or he fell away, depending on what your view is on soteriology.
Or the Lord's got him eating with the pigs.
Or,
so brings
or
him back
he's in a prodigal
now,
state,
yeah.
Whether Calvinism or Arminianism. But the point is, he wrote a book on I Kissed Dating Goodbye. The whole premise was not to date, and that Christians shouldn't be dating. However, like with anything else, this topic needs to be expounded upon. That's where courting, I think, kind of came about and became more popular with the release of that book. So just for the listener, for the sake of the listener, dating has this image of, you know, you meet someone, hi, what's your name? Oh, my name's, you know, Shane. Oh, hi, my name. Okay, let's go on a date and let's, you know, Lord knows what, you know, and that's not real healthy. It's you're going from one person to the next person, whereas courting kind of gave that impression of you get to know someone at church or through friends and you see that, okay, this could possibly turn into something. Let's court. Let's see where this goes. And the boundaries of sexual intimacy are not crossed and things like that. However, I mean, I know I wouldn't just say, no, you shouldn't date. I mean, it depends on the word dating. I think a person can, if you want to call it, go on dates, go on courting engagements. How do you get to know each other? So I think what he was talking about, what this person is talking about is dating biblical, meaning, can I go to the bar and meet someone? And, well, this didn't work out. And now let me meet this guy at work. He's not really a Christian. That didn't work out. So you're kind of dating and not really obeying God's word and not staying in healthy relationships. So, no, that's not biblical. Really, the biblical model is, I mean, we have so many from Abram, you know, go find my son a bride. And you see how brides were chosen. You had the father's approval. They would be among the people. They would be believers in Yahweh. They would share the same common identity. They wouldn't be from pagan nations. It could lead them astray. So we see the principle of being equally yoked. So I think if you meet someone, for example, you know, Luke meets someone at church. Hi, how's it going? You know, they're getting along. They run into each other. Hey, do you want to get something to eat? I mean, that's what me and Morgan did. I saw her at church many years ago. Hey, do you want to go just get something to eat? And then you go and you talk. And are we hitting it off? Are we on the same page? And hey, let's go to the movies Wednesday. And so if that's dating, that's fine because you're getting to know the person. I would get to know them in different settings around their parents, because how a son treats his mom is probably how he's going to treat you. How a woman treats her father is probably how she's going to treat you. What's the family dynamics? Does anger come out? Does selfishness come out? So you want to see them in a lot of different lights, if possible. You know, I know people who knew each other for 3 weeks and got married. I wouldn't recommend that, but people have done that. And then, you know, the Old Testament also teaches, and I think Paul did in 1 Corinthians that we're getting into, that often a dad would give his daughter away. They would get that blessing. Now I'm talking about arranged marriages. I don't think those have a lot of benefit here for us. You know, that I'm not going to tell you who you're marrying. You'll see him on the wedding day, or arranging. You know, it has to be God-given. There has to be a passion for each other. And but I think the father should be able to discern and have the privilege of giving away his daughter or daughters. Now we've lost that in America. Our families are so disorganized that we really don't do that anymore. But in healthy families, a daughter wants the affirmation of her parents, and usually the parents are very good. What's the word? Very good detectives, or very good at knowing what would work good for their son or daughter. Granted, not all parents are. I'm not saying that. So I think dating is biblical, but I would not use the world's model of dating. I guess that's probably the best way to frame it. And if you decide to court, and you have a different definition of courting, I think, you know, that's fine as well. The key is to remain sexually pure, to not let your lust drive the decision, to look at them in a lot of different settings, and to not be in a hurry, and to always put the marriage or the relationship on the altar. Lord, is this your will? God, is this your will? Please show us until the day you say I do. After you say I do, you can't, you know, the covenant's been sealed. Now it's time to work on the marriage. So I think it's okay from a biblical perspective, the short answer based on all that we just discussed.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes with certain people, I think this is a case of semantics.
Yeah, exactly,
you know,
right.
What your preferred word is, but regardless of whether you say I'm dating or I'm courting or whatever, there is a right way to do something. There is some, you know, with respect to this issue in particular, we do have to acknowledge the culture, the cultures that gave birth to the scriptures as we have them today. Because anybody listening to this is not going to send their servant out to find their spouse on mm-hmm. a back of a camel or anything like that.
That's
so
true.
So there's that. You already talked about it. We don't do arranged marriages in this society. So some of the things that were cultural realities for the people at the time don't necessarily carry over to us, but through that we can discern, like you said, the principle of being equally yoked and things like that. And, you know, I am single in my current state of life, but I've had the opportunity to spend some time with sisters and things like that. And one of the things, because I'm involved in youth ministry, I'm involved in ministry with teenagers, is that mm-hmm. The thing I encourage them to do is that get to know, specifically I've told this to young men, teenage boys, that get to know your sister before you start dating her. Dating should not be the process by which you get to know somebody on a deep level. You should have a semblance of the character, the quality of the faith of the person, their willingness to serve, all of those kinds of things from seeing them at church and seeing them around their family and all of that sort of stuff already before you make the decision to date or to spend time with them or whatever. And so the question that usually I'm asked is well, how do I get to know them before I ask them if they want to pursue something a little bit more and start spending a little more time together? And the answer that I usually come back with is find opportunities to serve together. There's a lot of stories that I know about where people got married on the mission field. And I think the Lord is faithful to kind of bring a man and a woman together that have the burden for the same type of service, you know. And I think if you're looking for somebody that is going to be equally yoked with you, serving is a great filter because it's going to get rid of a lot of people out of your periphery that don't pursue God on the same level as you do. It might mean you might wait a little longer, sure, but right. When you find a person that is serving in the same capacity as you are, or in a similar capacity as you are, you automatically know something about the quality of their faith and the character of their heart. And so that would be my encouragement, was if the listener has somebody in mind that they want to get to know this person a little better, look for opportunities to serve with them, serve in children's ministry with them, do homeless ministry with them, do something like that, and get to know them that way as a brother or as a sister. And that's the other thing that I would leave to the listener too, is even if you run the whole thing out and you get married and you live happily ever after for decades, your first relationship with that person in eternity is still as your brother or sister in Christ. And so before you get to the dating process, and when you get into the dating process, the responsibility that you have is to honor that person as your sibling in the Lord. And so I think in serving, you have the opportunity to do that before you go into dating and pile on the commitments and the things like that that start to come with that process. So it goes bad when a lot of people put it backwards and it's like, I barely know your first name, but I want to have this commitment to you. And then you find out it's like, wow, you're kind of a basket case, you know, but you're really pretty, so I would like to make this work. And then it's, you know, or whatever. So don't do that. It causes more drama and heartache than you need. But I think if there's somebody that's on your heart and you don't, you know, they live away from their parents, you know, you guys are in college and they're way away from their family or whatever, and you can't go ask mom and dad, hey, I'm interested in your daughter. I would like to take that person out or whatever. You don't have the opportunity to do that because of logistics or whatever. Then, okay, make sure you're both plugged into the church, submit to the elders of that church in your pursuit of the other person, and do the best you can.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm sure the person, or we might have some listeners out there thinking, what if, I'm trying to remember my train of thought here. Can the woman ever approach the man? That's a biggie now for a date. Now, my general thought is the man leads in this area. However, I know that there are times where maybe the woman could say, hey, you know, and pursue lunch or something. I don't think it's a hill to die on. It might be out of order. God wants the man to initiate, the man to lead, and the woman to respond usually. But I wouldn't have a problem with that, as long as, here's some tips. Take it to prayer and ask God for just a humble, gracious heart, not be in a hurry. Make God your first priority. And then when you find someone, make sure it's not just looks. Now granted, looks, I mean, you want to be attracted to the person, of course. I remember that when I saw my wife at church, I was watching how she worshiped and watching her demeanor and her attitude, even though I was greatly attracted to her. And I was watching that, watching how she worshiped. And then I followed, just followed completely after Christ and watched to see if she kept up. And she did the same. You know, it's like, we're following Jesus. You know, that's a sexual purity. Our past was not good, but we made a commitment to change that once we met each other. So I would encourage a listener too. You might be thinking, you know what? I'm listening to this, but I'm in a bad relationship, or I just got out of one. We were sleeping together. We were living together. Our God redeems. Our God restores. You can be back in the center of God's will. You should hear my past. It's just a mess. But God takes the mess and He rebuilds it. So the key is to get back on track. Say, God, I'm repenting. I'm doing what is right. I'm waiting on you. I'm not going out with these. If the guy is not concerned with protecting your purity, and he's not concerned about, yes, let's do what's right. Let's wait on God. If he's all he's worried about is, let's go to bed together. Let's have sex. That's what I'm in this for. Then it's a wrong person. So you have to be selective, I think. You have to be careful. You have to find them in the right place. We'll look at them in the right setup. But if you meet someone and you can tell they're trying to make advances, or they're wanting to get drunk with you, and you're just going down a very wrong path. God, and what happens though is people get in a hurry. They're desperate. That's why they call it, what's that term I haven't heard in a while, bounce, where you bounce from one relationship to another. Like she's having a I don't know what the word is, a rebound. Rebound. So yeah, we go from one person to the next person to the next person, versus just waiting on God. Let him bring the right person. But it's taking too long. Well, I'd rather have God and in his will than dating the wrong person who's going to destroy or end up ruining a good portion of your life. So no matter where you're at listening to this, you've could have remained pure, keep going. You've could have fallen in the past, then get back on track. You could be in a bad relationship right now, then break free and let God redeem and restore you. But I do think, to answer the initial question, that we should date, but date cautiously. Nowadays, you've got so much. You've got to have the right person, because they'll slip things in your drink, drugs, date rape drugs. Society is just growing even more perverted and perverse, and we have to be on alert. We have to be wise as a serpent, gentle as dove, of course. But so that would be my advice. Follow wholeheartedly after Christ. See if they keep up. Be equally yoked. Don't go for, well, I'm a Christian too. Well, is there fruit? And I mean good fruit. Don't settle for less. Don't lower your standard. Raise it and keep it there, and see what God does, you know?
Yeah, you touched on something that's kind of a burden for me, but before I forget, the question about if a woman can approach a man, I think there is one context where a woman has the opportunity to approach a man, and it's if a man has attempted to approach a woman in the past, and if for whatever reason she was not interested previously.
Right, and then she wants to revisit.
And then the man has moved on, and she has moved on, and then she for whatever reason, she sees some character in him or something, she becomes interested, then I think at that point, the onus is on the woman to reach back out to the man and said, hey, I've had a change of heart. So if you're a sister that's in that situation, then I think that you have, you owe it to the guy to respond to the initiative that he showed you. But anyway, but that's a side thing.
That's a good point, because he could still be thinking, well, she's not interested, and now she's thinking, oh, I've changed.
Yeah, nobody's a mind reader, so you got to talk to each other.
Yeah, and me and Morgan actually broke up many times when we were dating, just met each other, because I was coming out of just a bad past and very fearful, and she just got out of an engagement that was not of God, and she was fearful, and we just kept breaking up, and really let fear dominate that. So your past does follow you a little bit. But I think, again, as long as you're trusting in God, God knows how to give good gifts. If you're saying, Lord, I want to remain pure, I want to know what you have the best for me, but I'm also going to work on my own character. That's a big mistake people make. They want Mr. or Mrs. Right, but they don't want to be Mr. or Mrs. Right. They want Mr. or Mrs. Right now. And they don't want to work on characters. For example, if somebody's hooked to pornography, I usually tell them, you got to get free and clear of that before you start dating. Try to just get that past you, because marriage is not going to fix that problem. It's usually going to throw fuel on that problem. And now you're going to destroy a marriage. And we've counseled people that let's say a guy, for example, has tremendous rage. You really need to get some help and get that fixed before you go into the marriage, because it's not going to, or deep family issues, abuse, sexual issues. And it's good to get all that cleaned up so you go into the marriage whole. Granted, we're always broken, but at least you can go into the marriage whole and redeemed by God, and God helping you and seeing you through. But I also think God brings us the right spouse that will complement our weaknesses and help to strengthen us if we again look to Him. So don't date according to the culture. I would not meet people at nightclubs or bars or places that are just not godly. Yes, there are exceptions. People have met people there and they're married right now. They'll probably be listening. They have a great marriage. They've turned their lives over to God. But the exception never proves that the rule is wrong. It only proves that there's an exception. So with that said, I think we exhausted this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed this episode of Idleman Unplugged, be sure to send us your ideas and topics for another one. Send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com and let us know what you would like to hear on future episodes of the podcast. We thank you for listening today. My name is Luke Duncan, and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Idleman. Join us on the next episode of Idleman Unplugged.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com. El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must-read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.